praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome to our midweek service here at Grace Family Church. We're so glad you could join us this evening. Praise God. We're expecting good things. We're always expecting good things, and we should. Because if you expect God, then you should expect good. Because the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Oh, I'm so thankful. You know, we woke up to new mercies this morning. Guess what? We're going to wake up to new mercies in the morning. Praise God. I'm telling you, oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm excited. You excited? Are you believing God with me tonight? I believe the Lord will minister some things to us tonight and impart some things to us, remind us of some things, bring things to our remembrance, quicken us. Hallelujah. He loves us so much. He always wants to help us. Matter of fact, He sent the helper to us, the Holy Ghost. And we're looking to Him tonight to live big within us. Amen? Let's pray. We'll get into some things here. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity once again to gather here in the name of Jesus. We thank you for our church family and our friends who are watching online, Father. And those who may come across this, whether it's live or at a later date. We thank you, Lord. There's no distance nor time in the spirit realm. Oh, glory to God. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, and we look to you to help us what we need to speak and say what we need to say tonight. And I trust you, Lord, as we share. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the one who brings illumination and light and understanding to us, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened so that we can know the hope of your calling. We can know what we have as an inheritance as the saints of God. And we can also know this exceeding great power and authority that has been given to us as believers according to what you wrought in Christ when you raised Him from the dead. Oh, we thank you. We thank you for it. And we give you all the honor and glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go in our Bibles once again to the book of James. We're still in our series, and we will remain here for a while. And our series is called Establish Your Heart. Praise God. So let's look here in the book of James, chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it." You know, our Heavenly Father is very patient, and He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. I'm reminded once again when I read this scripture, and I think I've mentioned it here before, but I used to do prison ministry with a gentleman, and he would see the guys that would come in and sit at the very back, and he'd tell all of us, he'd say, "Those guys sitting back there in the back, they're the precious fruit of the earth. Oh, glory to God." You know, he wants people in. The Father's not trying to keep people out. He's not pushing people away. No, praise God. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened. Come to me and I'll give you rest. You come and learn of me." He said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Oh, praise God. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'm telling you, praise God, he doesn't want it to be hard. Oh, glory to God. He wants it to be easy. He wants it to be light. He don't want you under a burden. He wants you to cast your burden over on Him. And He'll sustain you. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, praise God, I'm already getting stirred up thinking about this. You know, I mean, it's like David. I mean, you know, when nobody was there to encourage him or to edify him, he edified himself. You know, sometimes you have to edify yourself. Sometimes you have to just get in the Word of God. You may have to walk around your house. You may get up in the middle of the night or, you know, whatever, and you feel a heaviness and the weight of things are on you. Well, praise God. Go in there and begin to magnify Jesus. Walk around. Hallelujah. Glorify His name. Lift up holy hands. It'll lift. It'll leave. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, look at verse 8. He said, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." So we see here that this really is an end time scripture. You know, glory to God. He said at the coming of the Lord and Him drawing nigh, what are we to do? We're to be patient, of course, like our Heavenly Father, but we're also to establish our hearts. And that's what the Lord quickened to me here some weeks ago, how that it is so needful and necessary that we establish our heart. Matter of fact, let's go over to the book of Psalms, the 112th chapter. Psalms 112. Let's look at this. Praise the Lord. Let's start in verse 1. He says, praise ye the Lord, or hallelujah. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments, or in his word. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. That's good news. I can tell you right now, that's not bad news. And that's to the person that fears the Lord. You know, when we say fear the Lord, we're not talking about being afraid. You know, I have a daughter. I don't want her to be afraid of me. I want her to respect me as her daddy. But I don't want her to ever be afraid of me. Well, that's the way it is with our Heavenly Father. He loves us. But you know what? We have such respect and honor and reverence for Him. Oh, hallelujah. And the one who has such reverence and honor and respect and esteems Him and esteems His word, hallelujah, and delights greatly in His words, this man is blessed. And his seed will be mighty on the earth. And wealth and riches shall be in his house. Oh, glory to God. Isn't that good news? It says, verse 5, A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Notice right here, it talks about this man. He said that his heart is fixed and his heart is established. You know, it is so important that we have our hearts established so that when anything, I don't care what it is that we encounter that's not godly, or that is not of God, we could classify it even as evil, here according to the word, it doesn't move you. Your heart is fixed. You're not afraid. You don't yield to fear. Why? Because your heart is established. And I could see why the Lord was leading me into this, because there's so much fear out there right now. I'm talking about in the world. And even in the church. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But He has given us the spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Oh, glory to God. We can establish our heart. See, the Lord, He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything that we would ever encounter here before His coming. So what did He tell us to do? He said, be patient. Hallelujah. He said, establish your heart. Oh, thank God, that's what we're doing. So we've been going through the scriptures, and we've been looking at what I call key scriptures. Scriptures that I've looked at in years past and continue to look at. I mean go-to scriptures. I'm talking about when you deal with things and things come against you, or when you've got a situation. I mean, these are trustees. These are the ones that I've looked at, continue to look at, and will continue in the future to look at. Glory to God. So we've been going through some of these, and now we're in the book of Luke. So I want you to go to the Gospel of Luke. We're going through the Gospels. We'll get through with Luke tonight. We'll get into John next week. I don't know if we'll get through John in one service, but we will attempt to. And then we're going to get into the book of Acts, and then we'll get into the epistles. Now, when we get into the epistles, I mean,
As we say down here, strap it on. Buckle your seatbelt. A lot of good things we're going to cover. Praise God. Because those are the letters to the church. And we're going to emphasize some things that are written specifically to us. However, there's things we can receive here. Hallelujah. So, Luke, let's go here. Let me see. Let's go to chapter 6. Let's back up here. The Holy Ghost quickened me earlier about this. Let's go to the 4th chapter of Luke. Now, we covered, a lot of these things that are in Luke were also in Matthew. So we'll try not to, to double dip. But we are going to look at some things here. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is when Jesus was in a synagogue, and he was delivered a book of the prophet Isaiah, and he turned, found the place where it was written. And in verse 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Oh, wonderful, wonderful scripture here. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, and not just here did he mention this. When he would go into other cities and villages for the first time, he would minister these things. He would say this. He would let people know that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Well, let me say something to you. We see what the Master was saying here about himself, but likewise, the Spirit of God is on you. God's anointed you. I said, God's anointed you. Hold your place right here, and let's go to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. See, I'm already getting into some of these epistles that I mentioned earlier, the letters to the church. But I want to let you see this, because a lot of times we as believers, we put Jesus in a class all by himself when it comes to certain things. And rightfully so. There are certain things that Jesus is in a class all by himself. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Alpha and the Omega. I'm not. You're not. He is. Okay? He's the great shepherd. Hallelujah. I'm a pastor, but I'm not the great shepherd. He is. He's the only one. I was reading to the church here Sunday in the book of Revelation. John beheld and really wept when he saw that there was no man that was worthy to open the book. In heaven and earth or under the earth. Oh, but Jesus, there was a lamb that was slain, stood there, and he was worthy to open the book. Oh, he's the only one that's worthy in that manner. He's the only wise God. Immortal, invisible. Well, only means only. However, we cannot put him in a class all by himself when he includes us in areas that we can function in and operate in like he did. Hallelujah. See, for example, this scripture right here, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me." And he lists different things that he was anointed to do. But you know what? You have that same Spirit and same anointing upon you as a child of God. And you need to know that. You need to acknowledge that. Your heart needs to be established in that. And the reason your heart needs to be established in it, because if you put Jesus in a class all by himself, that he's the only one that's anointed, and you're not, as a child of God, as a son of God, or a daughter of God, then what you will do, you will automatically disqualify yourself in your own heart and in your own mind from experiencing the supernatural or truly trusting God and stepping out for God to use you to minister to others. And for that anointing to not only be upon you, but flow from you. To remove the burden. To destroy the yoke of bondage in people's lives. You know, Jesus said we can do the works that he did. Well, the only way we're going to do it is by the anointing and by the Spirit, just like he did. Matter of fact, Paul wrote this to the church. You ready? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go to the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints. With all the saints. I'm going to stop right there. So he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's talking about, and he's writing to all the saints, not just a few. Let's pick it back up over here. Verse 19. He says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. Now here it is, are you listening? Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Now, I want to say that again. He which has established us, Paul was talking about, he's talking about him, Silvanus, Timothy. He that has established us with you in Christ and hath. Now, I want to ask you a question. What tense is hath? Is it past tense, present tense, future tense? Hath. He which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Well, that's past tense. When you received Jesus as Savior, when you were born again, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. This new creature, I'm talking about a creature. Think with me here. Don't get weird or get weirded out. But you're a new creature, a creature. What kind of creature are you? You're a creature that's been anointed by God, been established by God, been called by God, been chosen. That's why Peter wrote to the church and said, "You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation." And you're called to show forth the praises of him that's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word praises there also in the margin, it says virtues. You're to show forth the virtues of him. Hallelujah. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ literally means the anointed one and his anointing. You have the anointing of God in you. He's established you as a child of God, a son of God. That's why the Spirit of God wants to lead you daily. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, the Spirit of God wants to bear witness. It goes on to say that he bears witness with you that you're a child of God. And not only a child of God, but a joint heir, an equal heir with Christ. Paul said it like this. He said the same Spirit. Right before verse 14, he said the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The Bible tells us that Jesus was raised not only up by the Spirit. Romans 6:4 says he was raised up by the glory of the Father. That's why Christ in you, the hope of glory, of Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. See, a lot of people don't expect the glory of God in their life. A lot of people don't expect the glory of God upon them to operate through them. That God would manifest his glory. Now, we would expect that of Jesus. Because he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he's anointed me. But see, you've been anointed. Oh, glory to God. You've got this treasure in an earthen vessel. that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen, we're not boasting in ourselves. We're not, listen, No. We're not boasting in the flesh. No, we're boasting in Him. We're praising Him and thanking Him that He did this for us because He loved us. And He wanted us equipped and prepared to walk down here in this earth and to be ambassadors, representatives of heaven. You know, I mentioned a while ago in 2 Corinthians 5 that any man that's in Christ is a new creature, a new creation. The old's gone, the new has come. And it talks about, in that same setting on down, it says, now we are ambassadors. You're a representative of heaven. You're a representative of the glory. You're a representative of the Christ. Don't disqualify yourself. Establish your heart. Get these things in your heart. It's the divine will of God. It's the divine plan and purpose for your life. Now, He may have other things for you to do. I'm talking about vocation and things. But listen. Oh, listen. You've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. You have been called forth to show forth the praises or the virtue of Him. Christ in you. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, life-giving water. This spake He of the Spirit of God. At that moment was not yet given, but He came on the day of Pentecost. He's been here ever since. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the anointing, they're all interchangeable. Can't have one without the other. Oh, praise God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good. See, the goodness of God is the glory of God. Moses wanted to see God's glory. He said, I'll let my goodness pass by you. When they would be in one accord, I'm talking about the nation of Israel, when they would, with one accord, lift their voice, and when they begin to say or sing, the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. When they would declare about Him being good, the cloud would come. The glory would manifest. That's why Jesus was anointed with the Spirit of God. It was upon Him, and He went about doing good. Well, you know what? You're called, I'm called, to follow in His footsteps, to walk even as He walked, the Scripture says. Hallelujah. That's why in the book of Acts, the believers were first called Christians. Christians. Hallelujah. No, please. Please. We're not trying to, like I said, we're not boasting in ourselves. We're not trying to seek self-glory, vainglory. No, we adore Him and we thank Him that He's so good to us. And He has anointed us and empowered us with something from on high that's greater than the stuff that's down here. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You have to establish your heart in these things. And there are different scriptures that says this. But a lot of times, even in the church, we put Jesus over here in a category by Himself. We can no way in our mind or thinking can be a part of that or experience that because, oh, by the way, that's Jesus and we're not Jesus. No, we're not Jesus. But we are sons of God. He was the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, He was the firstborn of this new creation nation. And then there was a secondborn and a thirdborn. And then you were born again. And you received. You become a new creature. Do you believe that? Can you receive that? Can you begin to search the Scriptures to see if these things are so? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. He left us a wonderful example. Amen. Let's go back to Luke. I gotta get moving here, praise God, if I'm going to get through with Luke. You know, a lot of times I get over these things and it just, my heart gets stirred in it. Because all I am demonstrating to you is when I look at that scripture, it in my heart, I begin to acknowledge and I begin to entertain and open my heart for the Holy Ghost to bring things up in me. It'd be no different if I was sitting at my house drinking coffee, looking at Luke chapter 4. I would be entertaining just what I got through ministering to you and speaking to you. I'm talking about for me personally. Oh, glory to God. You have to do that because if you don't, you know, we can walk in the flesh. We can be carnally minded, just naturally minded. But we need to be spiritually minded. And if we live in the Spirit, in other words, if we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and we've actually literally been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, then Paul says we don't need just to know that that's what's taken place. We need to walk in it. You know, but you're going to walk in something when you're confident, when you know it, when it's a part of you. But as long as there is a question mark, you begin to question yourself. I can't tell you how many Christians are even hesitant to pray for somebody. I'm talking about specifically in a not just a serious situation, a lot of times in any situation. No, you pray. You ever heard that before? You ask somebody to pray? No, you pray. You pray. I know sometimes even with our children, they're young, inexperienced. I understand that. I understand all that. But you know, we need to teach our children. We need to impart things to our children. You know, the righteous are as bold as a lion. The wicked will flee when no one pursues. The early church prayed that God would grant unto them boldness, that they would speak the word of God, that signs and wonders would be done, healings would take place. But they prayed that they would be bold, not hesitant, not a spirit of timidity, but boldness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And a lot of times people, especially when they get in a real vital situation, life-threatening situation, you turn to them and want them to lead and pray. Oh, God, not me. Let the preacher pray. Let the pastor pray. Let somebody else pray. Not me. Well, see, listen to me. This is not a put down. This just shows us that our heart's not established. It really reveals to us that we have not had the righteousness of God revealed to us through the gospel. Because righteousness is not right living per se. It's a right standing. It's a position that you're in because of your faith in Jesus. Yes, you've been called. You're peculiar. You're holy. You're righteous. Hallelujah. You have to put on the new man, Paul said. You can't have a mentality of this old man. This man, this inner man that you were before you believed on him. Because see, now you're a new creature. And see, Paul said it like this in Ephesians chapter 4. You've got to put on this new man which was created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he said this, wherefore, put away lying. What do you mean put away lying? You don't need to lie and tell people a lie. You don't need to tell your wife you don't have no money, but you've got a $100 bill stuck back in your rat hole. Is that what he's talking about? No. Now, we don't need to lie about anything. But that's not what he's talking about in the context of that scripture. What he's talking about, when you entertain and you say things about yourself that really, literally, is just what you were as the old man. The ability that you had when spiritual death reigned in your spirit, when you had a sin nature in you, when you were alienated, separated from the very life and the anointing and the power of God. He said, no, you got to put on the new man. And if you say things about yourself other than the new man that you are, the new creature that you are, and all that's been given to you, your inheritance, he said, you're lying. He said, put away lying. Put on the new man. Hallelujah. He that has established us and hath anointed us is God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, you have to establish your heart in these things when you go into situations or when you get a phone call. Oh, glory to God. I can't tell you the times when I've been called upon and I'm about to walk into a situation. There's been many a time. I've sat in the parking deck of a hospital before I walked in because you get a call and you can't go but what your eyes see. See, Jesus operated under that anointing in Isaiah chapter 11. And the Bible tells us the Spirit and the anointing that was upon him, he didn't go by what he saw with his eyes. He didn't judge by what he saw in the natural or what he heard in the natural. See, why? Because the Holy Spirit was operating in and upon him and through him. Well, see, now we've received the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been given to us of God. We've been anointed. God has established and anointed us as the church, his body. We are the body of Christ in the earth. When Jesus walked the earth for those 3.5 years, he was the only body of Christ in the earth. But now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You're a God-created Christ man. You're a God man. Yes, you're a man. Yes, you're human. But you're not only human. I don't like those songs. And there's been 2 or 3 of those things. Very popular songs, secular songs, in years gone by. I'm only human. No, that's not the truth. Put away lying. That song's a lie. Because it says you're only human. Yeah, you are human, but if you've been born again, you're not just a human. You're a new creature, a new creation. You're a spirit being. And now you contain the life of God in you. The same life that was in him, the same spirit that was in him now is in you. Not a different spirit. Same Holy Ghost. There's not 2 Holy Ghosts. There's not 5 Holy Ghosts. There's only 1. No, let's begin to establish our hearts in who we are in Christ Jesus and who he is in us. He said in John chapter 14 in the upper room, he said, at that day you will know that I'm in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. That is all connected to doing the works that he told us that we would do in a few scriptures right above that. It has to be by revelation. That's why Paul prayed for us that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would come to our hearts and we'd begin to see things just like Jesus saw things. He didn't go by the natural. He didn't go by what he heard. There was a spirit operating in and upon him. It's available to you, my brother and sister, if you're not born again. We'll give you an opportunity to receive that here just shortly. But for those of you that have received him, for as many as has received him, John chapter 1 verse 12, he to them, the man or woman, boy or girl that has received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God. Not just get to go somewhere, you become something. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah. Didn't mean to take this much time on this scripture, but I feel impressed because so many, and listen, I'm not saying I know everything about this. And like I said, I'm definitely not boasting in the flesh. My boast is in the Lord, and we glory in him. But he's called us up to a higher place, and he wants us to walk even as he walked in our thinking.
Not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. But we got to understand that Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Yet, because of his oneness with the Father, he still humbled himself when it came to others. He didn't boast. He wasn't arrogant. Neither are we. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. He's going to lead you in your sonship. He wants to lead you every day and you to walk in your identity as a son of God. One who has been established and anointed by God. You're co-laborers together with him. Hallelujah. Paul goes on to say here in a few chapters, when we was in 2 Corinthians, this is the ministry of the New Testament, not of the letter, which kills, but the Spirit which gives life. And as we behold these things and we look into this mirror of the Word of God, this new covenant reality, as the body of Christ in the earth today, we'll be transformed and changed in our thinking. Our souls will be totally transformed so that our heads won't give us a fit. And we won't allow our minds and our flesh to dominate us. But our minds and our souls will be so transformed that it'll be in agreement with who we are in Christ in our spirit man. And out of our innermost being will flow rivers of life-giving water. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Chapter 6. Oh, praise the Lord. Got me stirred up. Verse 31. Let's move forward. We're going to have to shift gears here for a little bit. I mean, it's because we're going to something sort of different. But that's okay. Praise God. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6, verse 31. He said, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those who love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same." Now, he made reference to this. We looked at this back when we was in the Gospel of Matthew. But we're going to pick up something here, okay? Because he's going to go ahead and expound some things that I think is important for us to see. Verse 34, he said, "If you lend to them of whom you have or whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Now see, what he's basically saying here is, listen, you know, I mentioned a while ago, we are ambassadors. We're representatives. What he's saying is anybody can be nice to somebody that's nice to them. Anybody can love somebody that loves them. Anybody can sow into somebody or give to somebody that they know 100% sure that person is going to pay them back. Anybody can do that. Now, he's not talking about being frivolous or foolish or not being wise in situations, because you have to interpret Scripture with other Scripture. There's other Scriptures that says if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat, especially as a church member. If he's not disabled, I'm talking about truly disabled, but he can work, but he won't. He said don't even have any company with that man, much less lend him something. So the Scriptures don't contradict each other, but Jesus is trying to share something here that I think we need to see. He goes on to say here in verse 36, Therefore, be ye merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now, let me say something. We're fixing to see. That's a southern term here. We're about to see. Yeah, I do talk that way, don't I? We're about to see that he's talking about between men. You don't, under the old covenant, it was based on if. You've been forgiven through the cross. I've been forgiven.
Paul said over in Ephesians chapter 4, we were to be kind and tenderhearted to one another and forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath. What's that tense? Is that past tense? Yes. Hath forgiven us. So God has forgiven us. But what Jesus is explaining here has to do with relationship with people on this earth. And we'll see this. He said, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Now look at verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall God give. Now that ain't what it says, is it? It says, shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. For time's sake, we could get on down and keep reading here because he begins to share some things that are really still connected to this. But for time's sake, here's all I want to say to you. Most of the time, and here's the verse that I'm calling out here, is Luke 6:38. This is a scripture that from the get-go early on was a key scripture that when I heard it taught, back when I first got turned around and filled with the Holy Ghost and come into some circles where I was sitting under the Word and hearing the Word of God from different folks, this scripture was mentioned a lot. Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time it was mentioned when it come to giving, like of your finances. You know, give and you sow an offering or you give to the church or you give into missions and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and run over, shall men give unto your bosom. Listen, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. But what he's saying up here is, it starts out with verse 31, and as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them. Notice he said, as you would that men should do unto you. Notice verse 38, he says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Let me say something to you. You want to give love and you want to give mercy to people. You don't want to judge people in the wrong manner. Because if you do, then people, not God. See, God's already laid your judgment on Jesus at the cross. But I can tell you right now, when it comes to love, when it comes to doing good to others and blessing people, sowing into them, giving unto them out of love, being kind, that's what you'll receive from other people. And here's the thing about it. You'll receive that good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over from people. It'll be men that will reciprocate and you'll see that brought back into your life from people. You show me somebody who doesn't sow love, who doesn't show love, who's judgmental of people all the time, who doesn't do good towards others, will not forgive people, holds a grudge, holds situations, always offended. I can promise you, according to the scripture, they'll see that in return in their life. But a lot of times when it comes back, it's a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Because you have to read the scriptures before and after. Yes, does it apply to giving? Finances? Yes. Because of sowing to the Spirit. There's other scriptures we'll get into about that. But what Jesus was talking about here is what you want people to do to you, you do to them. And if you don't, either way, it's going to be given to you from people, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. Listen, we're called to be lights. And what he was saying here, he said, listen, anybody can just do the norm. We have to be different. We have to walk as ambassadors of heaven. We have our Father's DNA in us. We have His Spirit in us. We have His anointing. It goes back to what I was saying a while ago. We have that anointing. We have His DNA. We have His life, His nature, His ability on the inside of us. We are to allow that to come forth. We're to yield to it. Jesus said, by this, by the love of God, shall all men know. How many men? All men will know that you're my disciples. He goes on right below this and talks about the disciple and the teacher and the master. Oh, glory to God. That's for another day. But I encourage you, yield to that love and that nature that's on the inside of you. Be a blessing to people. Be merciful to people. Be kind to people. I remember a minister said this one time years ago. I was in a service. This minister, money was not an option because when I say an option, that's not the right word. Money was not an issue when it come to needing it. She was married to a wealthy man. I say wealthy. Like I said, money was not an issue or a problem with them. And I was in a service one time, and she made reference to this. She said, you don't impress me with your money. She said, what impresses me most of all is your kindness. And she was referring to because there was a couple that had picked her up from the airport. This was years ago. And the pastor had sent this couple, it was an older couple, to go pick her up. And she just really sensed the kindness and the love that this couple had. Very genuine, not unfeigned love. I mean, feigned love, excuse me. Feigned love is a love that pretends to love. Just like feigned faith. You're trying to pretend to have faith. No, we're talking about unfeigned faith, unfeigned love. And it just stuck with me. And she said, what really impresses me about people is not if they got a lot of money, a lot of stuff. What impresses me is their kindness. You know, that's years ago. That word was planted in my heart years ago. I haven't forgotten it. That's why I bring it up here tonight. I tell you, you'll reap from it. And it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and run over. People will be kind to you. Hallelujah. Good stuff, isn't it? Let's go to the 10th chapter. We've got a few more to get through here. Luke chapter 10. This is a powerful scripture. We're talking about establishing our heart. Are you still with me out there? Praise God. We're talking about establishing our hearts. Things, scriptures, words that we need to have established in us here as we walk this earth. Hallelujah, especially as the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You know, this just keeps coming up in me. Just what we just got through reading. How needful is that with what's going on around us in our society today? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Let's move forward. Luke chapter 10. This is a situation, verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he saith unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. And he sent them forth, he told them to go into houses, go into the city. And he said, hey, if they receive you, praise God, let your peace come upon it. If not, shake the dust off your feet, let your peace return to you and keep going. Praise God. And we see here in verse 16, he said, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Let me say this to you. And this will apply to any of us. It applied to the 70. It applied to us as well. Any time that you try to minister to people on any level, and they don't receive it, they don't esteem it, it's despised. Despised means it's just, they don't value it. It's not important to them like it is to you. Don't take it personal. He said, listen, they're not just hearing you. They're not hearing me. And they're not just hearing me, the Lord said. He said, they're not hearing the Father, the one who sent me. I mean, it goes all the way up to the top. And a lot of times we allow things and situations and people to try to rob our joy, especially as pastors and ministers or people in the ministry. But this applies to anybody. It can be somebody you love. It could be a family member. It could be a coworker. You know, you're trying to pour your heart out. You've been praying for them. You try to share things with them. And yet, you can tell they're not receiving it. They're not hearing it. Well, it's not just you. They're really not hearing him. Oh, glory to God. Continue to pray for them. Continue to pray that laborers will be sent and things will be spoken and said. Oh, hallelujah. That the ground of their heart will be receptive and their heart become good ground. Praise the Lord. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, this is verse 17, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Do you know that devils are subject to you through the name of Jesus? God's not a respecter of persons. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This is the verse that we're looking at. This is the key verse. Behold. Behold. Look. Behold, he said. Behold, I give unto you power. Now that word power there is literally the word authority. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Oh, we're so thankful, praise God. We listen, like I said, we're not boasting in ourselves. This is not vainglory. I'm talking about even when people have success. The scriptures, for example, even tells us, I was reading this in the Old Covenant, the Lord was telling the people, even if you increase in finances, don't get high-minded. Now, the scripture doesn't say high-minded, but this is what I say. He said, if you increase, understand. Don't think it's you. And yet, I know they were excited that they were speaking his name and they saw results and even devils were subject to him. But sometimes you have to be careful. You think you're a hot shot. I had one pastor friend who says this. He said, you know what a hot shot is, don't you? He's just a little shot out of town. Glory to God. Let me say something to you. Jesus said, don't get caught up in that. You rejoice that your name is in heaven. Oh, this is of the grace of God. This is of his doing. This is not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. Like I was reading earlier, he that has established us, he that has anointed us is God. It's his goodness. It's his mercy. Hallelujah. But you are anointed. And you are a child of God. And demonic spirits and devils are subject to you. You're not subject to them. You are not subject to the devil. He is subject to you. In and through and by the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's given us his name. Oh, hallelujah. He was in that upper room and he told his disciples, he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I think sometimes we struggle with that. Do we really believe that? Know what we need to do, even if there's questions about that, even if we don't have all the light on that, we need to go to the Lord about that.
Because we know that Jesus is not a liar. Because Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus is the expressed image of the Father. God is not a man that he should lie. God cannot lie. Jesus said that to us. Do we believe what he said? Do we judge him faithful? Do we judge what he said is the truth? Glory to God. We need to stir these things up in us all over again. This is what this is about. And I know in my spirit that a part of this, because the coming of the Lord is nigh, and because we are at the end, and because of the things that's going on around us, I know by the Holy Ghost I was impressed to get into these scriptures, go back to some of these scriptures and look at these things, so that these things are established in us. They're a part of us. You know, when we started out in this, John wrote to the church over in his third epistle. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear and to know that my children are walking in the truth. He prayed the prayer in the upper room. John chapter 17, Jesus prayed not only for his disciples, but he prayed for us. He prayed that we'd understand that we are one with him, just like he was one with the Father. He prayed, Lord, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. They're not of the world. They're in the world, they're not of the world. Oh, guess what? You're a new creature. You have something from another world living in you. I'm not talking about of this world. That is the reality. So we have to acknowledge that. We have to feed that. We have to meditate upon it. Give place to it. Yield. Walk in it. Be led by it. When things come, no, praise God, when evil comes, he said, Father, he said, I pray that you sanctify them by your truth. Keep them from the evil that's in this world. Sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth. So when these things are established in us that we're looking at, then when we encounter things of this world, it doesn't overcome us or overwhelm us. Paul said it like this in the book of Acts. He said, none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear unto itself. He knew who he was. He knew what his mission was. He knew he's the one who had the revelation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's the one who had the revelation that we're ambassadors. He's the one who had the revelation that God has anointed us and established us. He wrote over half the letters to the church. That's why when we get into some of these things in the epistles, oh, praise God. So I said, buckle up. Glory to Jesus. Amen. You have authority. It's been given to you in the name that is above every name. Glory to God. Amen. Let's go to chapter 10. We've got just a couple of minutes here. We'll close this out. Chapter 10. Now, this was one. Here's another we could spend a lot of time on, but I'm just going to read it. And the reason I read this scripture is because, and like I said, there's many scriptures we're passing over that are wonderful scriptures. But these are ones that I look to and I want my heart established in because I think it's very important. For example, right here in Luke 10, verse 38, it says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Oh my goodness, the many things here that we could talk about, many things that we could talk about, but here's one of the main things I want to leave with you tonight. It is very obvious that this portion of Scripture was divinely arranged from our Father.
It was recorded and written in the Word of God. And even though we can all identify with this, we have to receive and understand that there are things, not just the thing that she was bothered by when Jesus came to her house with his disciples. He said there are many things. You're careful. You're coming about with many things. Things can be a distraction. And I've always noticed this. And let me say something to you guys and girls. I've been distracted. I mean, I can't point a finger at Martha. I mean, the Lord could say to me, Roger, Roger. The needful thing in our life is to sit at his feet and to spend time with him and to hear him and to hear his words. Whether that's personal devotional time, whether that's at church in a service, whether it's at a meeting somewhere you go to, it is needful. And one thing about it, it won't be taken away from you. Now, the devil will try to take it away from you. When I say it can't be taken, the enemy can come to steal the word. But really, if you look at Mary, when Jesus said it won't be taken away from her, I really think Mary, this is my own personal opinion, I think Mary and her attitude of heart and the respect and the reverence and the desire she had for the Word of God, and it's a heart thing. She's the part of that good ground that Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower. It wasn't just wayside ground or stony ground or thorny ground. This is good ground. Her heart, the attitude and the way she esteemed his word. That's why he said it won't be taken away from her. The other three in the parable of the sower was stolen. Taken. And one of the things we see in the parable of the sower is the cares of this world. Other things entering in. Listen, we all have to deal with this, guys. And like I said, there's no condemnation here. I've heard Roger, Roger. But I know this. This scripture is important to me because I see some light in it. Like I said, with all these scriptures, I don't know everything there is to know about all of these scriptures. But there is some light and understand that it's come to my heart concerning this. And I ask the Lord to help me by his grace. Lord, help me not to be distracted. Help me not to allow things, people, situations to distract me and to take me away from really hearing you and what you would say and what you would minister. Because Jesus told Martha, it's not just the thing in the kitchen, Martha. You're cumbered about it. There's other things besides this. You got a lot of things going on. And I've seen this with people. I've told Daniel this before. We've ministered to people who need healing. And yet we're focusing in trying to focus in on receiving the healing. But I knew by the Holy Ghost that these people were a Martha, spiritually speaking, in the spirit. There was other things going on that was distracting and interfering with them receiving healing. And some of it had nothing to do with healing. That's why it is important that we acknowledge him in all of our ways. That we come to the Lord. That we take time to listen and to hear and sit and hear the word of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. One other thing I'll leave you with. And this is a goodie. Go to the 18th chapter. Let's end on a high note. Let's end on a high note. Glory to God. You ready? I'm not going to get in. This is when the rich young ruler came to Jesus. And I'm not going to get into the story, but let's just pick it up here in the 26th verse. And when the disciples heard what he'd said to the rich young ruler, Verse 26, and they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, who said? The Master. We're talking about red letter edition right here. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. They said, who can be saved? Do you know the word saved means more than just getting to go to heaven? It includes that. But the word saved is the word sozo, soteria. It's all inclusive. It means delivered, healed, preserved, made whole. It includes prosperity. It includes all of it. And under this situation, because of this rich young ruler, now, like I said, we're not going to get into that. But when they heard what Jesus said, that it's easier for a camel to enter into the eye of the needle than for a rich man who trusts in his riches to be saved. And they said, well, who can be saved then? And he said this. He said, with men, things are impossible, but not with God. Not with God. I want to leave you with this tonight. Don't ever think, whatever situation you're in, because a lot of times you're dealing with people in this life, whether it's your spouse, whether it's something going on at work, at the bank, at the hospital, at the doctor's office. And a lot of times we're looking to people to get us out, to make sure that everything turns out okay. But even when those situations get to a point where it's impossible with men, it's not impossible with Him. Hallelujah. We can never forfeit. We can never turn loose. We can never, as the body of Christ, as sons and daughters of God, allow the mentality or the mindset or the thinking enter into our thought realm. Well, it's just impossible. There's no way. If you think that and it's impossible and it's no way, then you need to establish your heart in that scripture. Because with God, all things are possible. And all things are possible to him that believe. We've already looked at that. So important. Oh, glory to God. Hold fast. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Oh, glory to God. Don't grow weary. Hold fast. Hold fast to sound words that are faith and love that's in Christ Jesus. All things are possible with Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He loves you. Can you say amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Your words. Oh, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your grace. And I pray tonight, Lord, as we've ministered and shared things from Your Word, I ask, Father, that You would grant and give the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of these truths. Open the eyes, open the ears to see and to hear. Establish us, Lord, in Jesus' name. I made reference earlier, if you've not received Him, for as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God, to become a new creature. If any man be in Christ, how do you be in Christ? For as many as receive Him, Jesus. Will you receive Him? If you've never received Him, pray with me right now. Say this from your heart to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive You into my heart. I believe You died for me. I believe God sent You to this earth and You died on a cross for me. I receive You, Lord, as my salvation, as my Savior. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for washing me and cleansing me through the blood that You shed. I receive that by faith. And I thank You now that I am Your child, I am Your son, I am Your daughter. I am born again. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old has passed and the new has come. And I ask You to help me and to teach me and show me from this moment forward Your plans and purposes for my life.
lead me and guide me by your Spirit so that I can follow you all the days of my life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you if you prayed that prayer. I always say this, share that with someone if you prayed that prayer for the first time. Tell somebody. Go to someone who's a Christian. Believe God to get in a good word church that teaches the word of faith, the word of his grace, the gospel of peace. Get your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Praise God. He loves you and he cares for you. And all of our family and friends, we love you. Oh, glory to God, we love you in Jesus' name. We pray you have a great week, and we'll be back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Central Time. See you then. Bye-bye.